Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke. As we continue to make our way through the book of Luke, if you would, Luke chapter 13. You may also want to take your Bibles and find Matthew 7, but we'll be looking at Luke 13, 22 in just a moment. Let's stand together, if you would, the book of Luke chapter 13, Luke 13, 22. And he, that being Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. And Lord, we know that there are those of us today that are concerned over loved ones or friends or even family members. Lord, you know the situations. Lord, may we be able to be testimonies of your love and your grace. We pray, Lord, for those who are going through spiritual battles even right now. Give them strength. Give them encouragement. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of those who are lost. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue reading in verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out, and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In verse 22, we find he went through the cities. He is heading to Jerusalem, knowing what lays ahead for him. And as he goes from city to village and village to city, he is instructing his followers and those that are come to hear him. He talks to them and he instructs them. Can you imagine what it was like to actually hear Jesus speak? To hear him talk. To hear him expound upon the Old Testament scriptures. And we find there in verse 23a, Lord, are there few that will be saved? He asks the question, and I guess he kind of realizes that there are only going to be some that are going to be saved. Many of us are concerned about the spiritual condition of mates or parents or children or family members or friends or co-workers, and we are concerned and we wonder about their spiritual condition. Keeping your place here, Matthew chapter 7. The Lord has been speaking for quite a while on what is known or on the topic of the Sermon on the Mountain. And Jesus is nearing the end of that great sermon. And it says in verse 13, Matthew 7, 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." How sad it is that though given much opportunity here in America to hear the gospel, there are so many who have rejected the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a social gospel today of, well, let's just be nice with one another and be tolerant and all will be well. That's a lie of the devil. See, there is one way into heaven, and that way, of course, is through Jesus Christ. Again, if you would, the book of Romans, and if you just like to listen as I read, that's fine. But we're beginning in Romans 10 and verse 9 in just a moment. The need to accept Christ the Savior is the greatest need of any individual today. The greatest need of America today is for people to come to know the Lord as Savior. Yes, we need to have jobs, and yes, we need to have money, and yes, an education is good, and yes, it's good to have a nice home and nice cars, and these things are good, but the one necessary thing for each and every individual is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Jesus Christ tells us that we need to go into at the straight gate. We find again in the book of Luke chapter 13 that we are to strive to enter in at the straight gate. I mean, we need to make sure that we take the effort to make sure we're on the right way. It says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Many will try, but because their hope is on a false doctrine or a false teaching, they will not enter into or at the straight gate. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." They are blinded. Many in our society are blinded by money. They're blinded by popularity. They believe because they are put on television and they're put into magazines and they are considered the in group, that this is something to be counted as special. But if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they are blinded. They're blinded by material things. They may have all the bling in the world, but if they don't have Christ, they have nothing. They may have the best of cars and the best of jewelry and the best of clothing, but if they don't have Christ, they have nothing. They're blinded by sports. They're blinded by entertainment. They're blinded by education. And yes, they're even blinded by religion. Unfortunately, millions will find themselves in hell who were very religious. They went to a house of worship for years, but they were blinded by the devil. The book of John 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And Jesus said in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And yet we live in a world that is blinded to the true needs of society. Again, we find in Luke chapter 13, this parable. Jesus, in talking to them about entering in at the right gate, and in this he gives a parable. "When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door." A parable, of course, is a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. And we find here the door is shut. Who closed it? In Noah's day, God shut the door. The ark had been built, and Noah preached for 7 more days, and then God shut the door. In the church of Laodicea's age, the people have shut the door. They've shut Christ out. And it's hard to believe that Christ can be shut out of a church, but he can when tradition comes in and when other thoughts come in and that Christ has been forgotten. In this parable, the master of the house has shut the door. How many of you remember that old Mervyn's commercial where the woman is standing at the door saying, "Open, open, open"? Do you remember that? I mean, that was the funniest commercial I think that ever was. And of course, Mervyn's out of business. I guess enough of you didn't go and ask for it to be opened. But how many of you have ever been locked out of your car? Yes, I see hands going up. Some of you, you've never been locked out of your car. You are very fortunate. You know, there's nothing worse than having to call your wife and say, "Honey, I've locked myself out of the car." Have you ever locked yourself out of your own house? Yes, I see some hands going up. Boy, that's embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah, you lock yourself out of your own house. How many of you have ever locked yourself out of the church building? Yeah, I've done that. And I had to call somebody, "Come let me in." What happened? I left my keys in the building. That's not a good thing. The door is locked and the door is shut. Here we have this parable. The master of the house has shut the door. Dr. Mark was talking there from the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The judgment. Don't get locked out of heaven. Going to a church will not get you into heaven. Living a good life will not get you into heaven. Never having cussed or gotten drunk or beaten your wife or kicked the dog, that won't get you into heaven. There's only one thing that will get you into heaven for all eternity, and that is the shed blood of Christ if it's upon you. Notice they're locked out. You hear their protest. "Lord, Lord, open unto us. There's got to be a mistake. We're locked out." There'll be people that will be wanting to get into heaven, but they'll be locked out. Can you imagine? Noah has built the ark. They've seen him build the ark. He has preached, "Once the ark is complete, come in." There have been people standing there, and when he said, "Come in," maybe they thought about it. And then the door shut, and it began to rain. Do you think there were people that were pounding on the door saying, "Let us in"? Absolutely. And I believe this, there will be people upon their dying will say, "Lord, let us in." But the Lord's response, "I know you not." And then they said, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." How many can say, "We sat and ate at your dinners at the church, and we were there. Lord, let me in." And he will say, "I don't know you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Again, I read from Matthew 7:13, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which shall go in thereat." Here in Luke 13:28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hell is an awful place. Life is short and eternity is long. You'd better make sure you're going to the right place. Hell is a place of darkness because there is no light. Hell is a place of loneliness. No, there will not be card games in hell. There will not be anything of pleasure in hell. It'll be a place of pain. Notice there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be memory. There'll be memory. And there'll be separation from God for all eternity. We find that they'll come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They'll come from all parts of the world. Praise God for that. But there'll be those who will be going to hell and those who will be spending eternity with our Lord. What a glorious thought. Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Aren't you glad that there are people from all over the world that can be saved? And if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And then there are those, of course, who come and tell him, "You better leave because Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus isn't worried. He says, "I've got more work to be doing over the next few days, and I will go and I will perish and I will do it at Jerusalem." But verse 34 says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." We hear Christ's lament for this city. If you're in Luke chapter 13, just go over to chapter 19, if you would, Luke 19, and we'll look at verse 41. Luke 19:41. Jesus says here in the one area, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have been kind to you. I would have protected you." Notice what it says in Luke 19:41. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." In 70 AD, Jerusalem was leveled flat by the Romans. And you know, instead of saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," we could say, "Oh, America, America. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation, because thou wast taught the word of God and you've rejected it." You know, there once was what was known as the Bible Belt in parts of southern the United States. Go there now, it's not that, except in name. I find it interesting that we have churches throughout our land and they have forgotten what they're all about. Jesus' lament was, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. We have a song in our song book, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And verse 1 says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost, and yet many rejected him then, and many reject him now. They believe that religion will get them into heaven. They believe their good acts will get them into heaven, but they won't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May I say this, Christ loves you. His desire is for you to come to know him as Savior. As Dr. Mark was saying, the fact that we are going to die and there's going to be a judgment should drive us to get our relationship with God right. Is your relationship with him proper and right? In a little bit, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper, but before we do that, we'd like to have an invitation. Maybe you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today's the day that you'll say, yes, Lord. And Pastor Stephen, we're going to sing 137, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's not the invitation song listed. And if you have drifted from the Lord, and nobody has to know you've drifted, maybe you just would like to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to get things right with you. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know that is in need right now, spiritual need. And you'd like to come and pray for them, we'll give you that opportunity as we stand together. 137, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that you would bless. We ask that the Holy Spirit would touch hearts. And Lord, we ask that the word that was preached would bring honor to you. And Lord, we know that your words will not return void. They will fulfill their purpose. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.